hands up. Let me see you
get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hope all you fathers had a happy Father's Day out there. And before, and by the way, happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you, man. You too.
I was talking with some of my friends about Father's Day, and we came up with what I think is a good solution. So I want to put this by you. Gibbs, you as well. Happy Father's Day to you, Gibbs.
Thanks, guys. Same to you.
So the fact that you have to fix it, you're saying it's broken.
Yes.
Okay.
June 18th is or June whatever is not the time for Father's Day.
Okay. When is?
NFC AFC Championship Sunday.
Which is the last weekend, or no, third weekend in January.
I think Father's Day should happen at a cold weather time.
Why?
Because otherwise you feel bad about being indoors if it's nice out or whatever. I think, and that way you have the great, what I consider to be one of the best sporting days of the year. You know it every year, it's consistently going to be a great sporting day. And you can have whatever you want. Father's Day is not really Father's Day. Father's Day is Mother's Day part two.
Why do you say that?
Because what's so Father's Day about Father's Day? I think Father's Day should mean like you do what you want to do. It's like almost it should be. It's almost like a second birthday.
Well, were you and your guys not doing what you wanted to be doing?
I was going to say I actually got to golf yesterday.
So did I.
Normally I do, and I didn't get to, which was frustrating me. Not because just because people were not available. So I could have potentially had.
And
golf.
I think that
I just think I don't know.
Well,
I
guess to other fathers. The AFC, NFC, you know, championship weekend would be a appropriate weekend where they can go all in on football.
Yeah.
But I know for me specifically,
you want to golf.
As a former football player, and because we work for a football team and we work on a football show,
yeah. Uh-huh.
That I know that it's essentially my job to watch those games to be able to talk about it the next day.
So you already have that pass.
So that's already, yeah, that's a pass.
What if you could say it's Father's Day? So listen, we're going to watch, you know, I got to watch these games anyway. We should celebrate Father's Day. It's got to be in Scottsdale. I'm playing golf in the morning and then we're watching the games. Like, I think Father's Day should happen in Scottsdale in January, maybe early February.
That's your Father's Day. Yeah. You're talking about the consensus.
This is what I'm trying to jump.
Okay. I know that there are men out there on Father's Day who are like, allowed to go see a movie by themselves is a joy for them, you know, or again, to go golf, whether it's solo with a foursome, like I had the pleasure to do, but it's, I think a majority of fathers kind of get a free pass, but it's also short lived. Cause like even on Mother's Day, you know, they'll go take their couple hours, whether it's massage, nails, whatever, but then they come back and you can't, I don't think you celebrate being a mother by completely avoiding your children. No. So it's like a combination of both. You get away and enjoy your alone time doing what you want to do, which for us is golf, which for them is, you know, nails, massage, hair, I don't know, drinking wine all day. I don't know. But then you want to come home and be with your kids. It's not like avoid your kids' day.
Correct.
Yeah, being with the fam and everything.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get to choose what you want to eat.
I took my kids to see Inside Out yesterday, which, by the way, and I don't know why I'm surprised, but typical – for Disney, a little bit depressing.
Really?
There's a lot of the movie that's somewhat sad.
Like Up.
Yeah.
Well, they said it's like the best Pixar movie since Up.
Yeah.
So it's getting good reviews.
It was good.
And it did well.
But like the happy part was very short-lived, which I wasn't sure I understood exactly.
That's the world
why
we live in now, man.
Yeah, but I'm ready to just – I'm ready.
I heard
to...
there's a lot of Canadian references.
What do you mean?
I saw somewhere on Twitter yesterday because I'm looking forward. The girls want to go.
We'll go this week.
Yeah.
That there are references to Canada?
Yeah. Like there's a ton of Canadian references. I don't know. Someone said just totally random the whole movie. There were Canadian nuances and innuendos and they were just laughing and remarking on Twitter. Who was that? Someone said it was amazing how many Canadian references.
Do you have to be Canadian to have gotten the references?
It's a great question. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Because they went right over my head. I mean, unless like people's heads are cut in half and they talk like and say A.
And play, were they playing hockey in one of the kids' heads?
One of the kids was playing hockey, but she was from Minnesota, which made sense to me.
Sure, absolutely.
Interesting.
I don't know. I got to go back and find that. It was right in the middle of the U.S. Open drama, and I was like, okay, I'll deal with that later.
Speaking of the U.S. Open, Love West Coast. Love when it finished. Love that I got you got to have the whole day and then watch that at the end of the night.
Best
Phenomenal.
Thing. Yeah. I mean, I played golf. I came home. I sat down, and they were only on the third hole.
Is that
and
the
I'm
equivalent?
Like, this is awesome.
Is that the equivalent to the London game being on at 9 o'clock in the morning? So
yes.
you wake up to football.
I would agree.
Which bridges you right to 1 o'clock for your Cleveland Browns.
9 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Sundays.
So, yeah, I'm totally 100% in favor of that. I want to see more of it. I think it's fantastic. I think that's a great – I just enjoyed the viewing experience. The golf course, we already – I think we're all in agreement, not a U.S. Open golf course.
I think the players are in agreement.
Yeah. How about Louis Oosthuizen birding 6 of the last 7 holes?
He was on fire. You got to figure he played with Tiger the first 2 days.
Shot 77 the first day.
Yeah.
Shot 77 the first day and was right there. So – Go ahead, Gibbs.
Here's a side question or a comment then. Do you shoot the way that your partner you're paired with shoots?
It can affect you. Your playing partner certainly can affect
I think
you.
It can. Like,
I think it can.
I go out with my buddies, and if I got a buddy that's not so great or if I got a buddy that's really good, I feel like I bring them down.
I mean, listen, I play the majority of my golf with the kid, pretty much all my golf with the kid. And the kid, a fine man, but he's not like a, you know, he's not a scratch golfer. He's, you know, solid. And he goes anywhere between 14 and 17. But it doesn't affect me. What can affect me sometimes if you're playing like your partner and you're hitting second, your partner hits a bad shot like every single time. Sometimes that can affect me.
Yeah.
Other times it doesn't affect me. But it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's about mental toughness. It's about resolve. You know, it's about all of those things. And I think, you know, speaking of mental toughness, I thought Jordan Spieth coming back from that double bogey hit 2 fine shots onto 18. Dustin Johnson did. That 3-putt is maybe the worst that I've ever seen, given the circumstances, given what was going on.
How does he run that first putt 4 feet by?
Because I think he was amped up. He was like, I have a chance to win the U.S. Open right here. Everything I've ever worked for, I just have to make a 12-foot putt.
But wouldn't you think you'd baby it before you slam it by?
I want to get it as close to the cup. Because even if it, if, okay,
you lag it,
it
from 12
in,
feet,
I can just tap it in and I'll play on Monday. That's the way I'm looking at that.
No, I hear you. I agree with that. I don't know, man.
I have a tendency to get a little
antsy and I short it, but I would never want to ram it by.
No, good God, no! Especially in that situation.
Right, especially at that course.
You've seen how bad the greens were.
And then how about I know Yahoo Sports had, I think it was either the Huffington Post or Grantland, one of the two, had like the vine of the putt, the final putt, and then they had like a frame by frame how when that ball entered the shadow of his feet, they're saying that the ball separated from its own shadow, which meant it hit a bump drastic enough to kick it left.
He decelled on it. I mean, it was just a bad stroke.
Right.
Well, but that goes back to, did he spend too much time thinking about it? Should he have let Jason Day go? Because Jason Day was like, do you want me to go? And Johnson was kind of hesitant, and Day was like, do you want me? He goes, yeah, just go ahead. Like, yeah. He waited. That time waiting, you're thinking about it.
Yeah, but he was thinking about it all the time.
How about the drive on 18, though? Pummel it down the
unbelievable.
Right side.
The second shot was unbelievable. It was great. You just
his
can't three putt from there. You have to go ahead and try to make the putt. I don't fault him at all.
How does a caddy not get in his ear and influence him enough to think the way that we think, Gibbs, and say, get it within 2 feet and you've never missed
because
a 2-footer?
Okay. We're talking about a professional golfer.
Yeah.
Who's 12 feet away from winning the U.S. Open.
Right.
So you and I, even I would be wanting to make that. You putt it so that you can make it. You cannot be short in that circumstance. Like, I get that part of it. But my mindset would be hit it so that if it drops in, it drops in. And if not, I have a gimme. Now, you can run it 1.5 feet by. There's no problem with that. That's still a gimme. But this is a professional golfer. This would be like, I don't know what the equivalent for you would be, but basically, you know, you're going to go. You're not going to play cautious when you can see the hole open up.
I think this is Aaron
Rodgers
throwing a slant, you know, into an open zone.
Yes. Yes.
Right? The best in the world.
Maybe not 100%. Like, that would be 100%. But this is one that he shouldn't be afraid of in any way, shape, or form. And he should be thinking, I'm going to make this and I'm going to win the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And he did not.
No, he did not.
No. I just – I was blown away. I'm just sitting there and I'm like – as soon as it's over, I can go to bed. And I think I'm tired. I'm exhausted. It was a good weekend, but it was a long weekend.
But the most intriguing thing to me was it's not like anybody dropped significantly or rose so significantly to feel like someone had all the momentum. I think Spieth, after the double, coming back, gets the birdie to go up by a shot. And then Johnson can essentially just so easily create a playoff, which we'd be watching golf or would have watched golf already by now and have it happen right now. So, that, I mean, I think it's like Spieth doesn't have the momentum because Dustin Johnson made, you know, four great shots to tie the tournament as well and come from behind. So you could say they're neck and neck on momentum, on how they're going to sleep. You know, they're both going to sleep the same way to come out and be on an equal playing field today. Would they have had to play full 18 today?
Yeah, U.S. Open's an 18 hole.
Dude. That's what I was all fired
and
up
you
about.
You can tell, like, Spieth
like,
didn't
I
even
know. I
know
what I'm doing today.
Spieth was like to his caddy, what should we do, as if he had to, you know, prepare to go out there. But, I mean, that was just an unbelievable – it was an unbelievable – watching it right there, I said, okay, Dustin Johnson, and this is how Jordan Spieth even said, Dustin Johnson's either winning the U.S. Open or there's going to be a playoff.
Right.
That's what I was – I'm like – this is going to go one of two ways. I didn't even think about the third way.
It wasn't possible. This is a 12-foot putt for a professional golfer.
That's it. I'm like, you either get it close and tap it in and just call it a day. At no point, and I'm explaining it to my 11-year-old because she thinks it's boring, and she's like, these golfers are terrible. I'm like, it's not the golfers. It's the course. And I'm going through this. So we get to the final hole, and she's like, so what now? What's going on? I'm like, well, if he misses this, not a big deal. He'll just tap in, and we should have a playoff tomorrow. He missed the third one. I drop an S-bomb. And she's like, what did you – she was more concerned about me dropping the – and I'm like, now I got to do damage control there because I dropped the S-bomb. And I'm blown away that he missed – not one, but both putts.
It was shocking. It was John Van de Velde-esque in terms of just where he was at that moment and you being sure it was over. Wasn't Van de Velde up like five shots going into the last hole that he lost? That he ended up in a playoff at the British and lost the playoff?
I think so. What was the Greg Norman collapse?
Yeah, but that was over a series of holes.
That's what I mean. Like, this might be the single greatest collapse in golf. And the worst thing is we're calling it a collapse. I've seen choke job. Listen, you can't call it a choke job because how many golfers, regular Joe Schmoes, have three-putted like that with a game on the line? I tweeted it out last night. That guy just pulled a Gibbs.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, come on. So, we've all been there. And I get he's a professional, but it was shocking to me how it ended.
You're right. And so, Nathan, moving on. Looking at the fact that Jordan Spieth has won both majors this year to date.
And did you see the company, by the way?
Yeah.
Of the people? It's like Tiger, Jack, Arnold Palmer, Ben Hogan.
Yeah.
Spieth, and then some guy, Craig Wood, who's apparently in the Hall of Fame of golf.
Sure. But that all being said is, where they go next is a track that you know. Is that a Jordan Spieth type of track, or is that more of a Dustin Johnson type of track?
A power hitter can overwhelm St. Andrews because you can hit it anywhere, but you've got to be able to putt, and that's what Jordan Spieth can do. Dustin Johnson is going to win. I think his ball striking is so good, he's going to win a major someday because he's just going to overpower somewhere. But I don't think he's ever going to win a close major because you don't ever forget what happened right there.
And also, too, back at the PGA this year where he had his club grounding.
Yep, Westlake
Straits. You know, so that's going back there. So he has an opportunity to win there as well.
I just don't know how you come back from that. Golf is such a mental game.
Yeah.
And especially at their level, it's such a mental game because they're all so good.
Yep.
That's going to be with him for a long time. I remember Sergio Garcia lipped out that one putt to win a British Open. That was actually in Scotland, so it was 7-8 years ago. And he lipped out, and
he's never won
a major.
He's close.
But he's never won a major.
Yeah. Wow.
We'll talk a little bit more about the psychologist because you've played professional sports at the highest of levels. So I just want to kind of get an athlete's perspective on that. Today we're going to get into our off-season awards. We're going to start that part one at 1:30, part two at 2:30. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, will be with us at 2. At 2:15, we'll hear from Cam Irving, the number 19 overall pick in the 2015 NFL Draft. Plus, we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. What did you think of the U.S. Open? What did you think of what happened with Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth? Is Jordan Spieth the new Tiger Woods, as it were? And then for the Browns, now that we're through minicamp, the OTAs, who's the one player you're most excited to see in person at training camp, and what's the biggest question you have about this team? Those are our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.